All right, welcome into the Detroit Lions News Podcast with your hosts, Tyler and Joe. I'm Joe. He's Tyler. He's wearing a Sparty Party. It's obviously recruiting signing day. And we have not signed our letter of intent, Tyler, so you need to get a move on.
Yeah, man, you know, I was trying to make my decision, man, and, you know, as long as it's not Ohio State, right, so I'm in the right direction.
Yeah, but you know what? We got to talk about Detroit Lions because what happened on Saturday was freaking unbelievable. Me and you were texting each other, and then I thought I texted you, but my phone went crazy. I had to go to the Apple store today. And going to the Apple store before Christmas is probably the worst decision of your life. Literally the worst decision of your life.
Yeah.
Now, there's a million other decisions that could be worse, like robbing a bank or committing a serious crime. But going to the Apple store is definitely one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, man, it was a fantastic game. I was sick because I was going to put I had an alternate line at Lions minus 9.5 that I had loaded in the queue. And I was going to drop, like, dude, a good amount of money into it. And I didn't end up getting it in time. And I started having some problems with my debit card. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's meant to be. Maybe they won't blow them out. No, they did. They blew them out. So that's beside the point. But the deal was, man, is we've been talking about, look, we need to come in and we need to blow these cats. We need to blow someone out. We need to have a FU win. We need to stomp on somebody's neck. We need to gain some traction. And this game was exactly that. We came out firing on all cylinders. I shouldn't say that. We came out looking slow. But as soon as the second quarter started hitting, man, we were firing. And we were balling. So this is exactly what we needed. We needed to come in and punch some money in the mouth. And it just had to be Denver. It just had to be him.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing about that game was how good the pass rush was. Also, what I thought was the most important thing of that game was someone we're going to talk about, and he had a breakout game, an absolute breakout game. That's Fatu Melifanwu. Like, if you look at it, man, like, this is a guy who – he had 8 tackles, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, 2 QB hits, and 2 pass breakups. And, like, the limited time this guy is playing, you're starting to see more from this kid. Like, he is literally starting to turn full circle. So, yeah, and it's strange because, in my opinion, like, what happens when C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes back? I have no idea.
Well, you know, and we were, like, really, like, so everybody was, like, curious about Tracy Walker, no, right? No. You know, we gave him an extension. We got all this money into the safety positions between C.J. and Tracy. And you know, Tracy kind of got benched, and we were a little worried about that. And then all of a sudden, Yiffy, you know, this guy that we had, all of a sudden comes out of left field and just absolutely, you know, starts looking like a freaking Pro Bowler, man. And I don't know if it's just because he's gotten more opportunities, you know, or it's schemed up really nicely to work towards his advantage. But this guy was just looking absolutely phenomenal. And I'm going to give some credit to AG for, you know, scheming up a nice game. You know, you won't hear me say that too many times. But this guy just was a pissed missile, man. He was flying all over the field, and he was just absolutely balling. So it was great to see. And now you're seeing glimpses of why we traded for him and what we traded for that pick and took him out of Syracuse in the 3rd round a few years back. And I kind of have a feeling we all were curious what he would look like in a somewhat bigger role. But man, I did not expect him to come out here and look like a freaking Pro Bowl safety. This dude was flying around. This dude looked like he belonged. It was really, really crazy to see.
No, I think the thing that makes me kind of like chuckle a little bit was the way that they played. Like, I thought Ifatu Melifanwu, I didn't think of nothing by him. Like, I didn't think he was going to be this great player. But when he came in, that pass breakup he had downfield, you remember, he punched the ball out. And, like, that was just a heads up play. Then, you know, the forced fumble, that was a heads up play as well. Like, this guy just showed that, like, he can be used in certain situations, especially when Chauncey Gardner-Johnson comes back, and it'll be good for him.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a nice depth piece that we have. at the safety position, because, you know, you need depth on your defense, but you especially need depth at the safety position in this league. So the fact that we can have, you know, three or four guys that are serious ballers, you know, the cream will rise to the top, and we'll have some people that we can really, you know, we can really to go out there and show that we're, you know, we're about it. And I think your main guys right now, obviously you're looking, I think Tracy's the kind of the odd guy out right now. You're looking at, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Brian Branch, and Kirby as your kind of main three. And I don't know if this level of production is sustainable for Iffy, but if it is, you've got to find a room for him to you know, let him come in here and play. And that allows you to move some guys around, whether it be the corner, safety, nickel, linebacker. And it gives you a lot of flexibility and versatility. So we'll see. I mean, having to make those tough decisions is a good thing, because that means we actually have talent on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, here's another thing. I looked this up the other day. I was surprised as hell to see this stat. So this is from Pro Football Focus. It's missed tackle rate. Now, people look at missed tackle rate. Why is that coming up? No, it's not coming up. Hold up. What the hell is going on? All right. So it's missed tackle rate. His missed tackle rate's like 4.5%. Well, there you go. This is going stupid. The internet's already starting to screw us, Tyler. Now, Jack Campbell's missed tackle rate is 4.5%. That's 35th in the NFL when you rank it in the NFL. Now, the thing people, when I posted this, what people misunderstood is that it's in all defensive players. So, like, if you're a cornerback and your missed tackle percentage is like 60%, you're probably a shitty corner. And then, like, if a linebacker, like, usually linebackers are on the top, because if they miss tackles, like, it's very noticeable. So Jack Campbell being in the top 35, the person he was ahead of was Bobby Wagner. So to be in a case with, like, Bobby Wagner is a pretty damn good thing. The only thing about Jack Campbell is he needs to get better with his pass coverage, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to a position where when you're a good team, you get to – make these decisions about your personnel, and you can look and say, hey, like, look, we have flexibility. If somebody wants too much money or they just don't want to be here, like, you're not in a position where you're desperate to keep somebody. And when you're desperate to keep somebody, you overpay, right? So, you know, we're not in a position where we're necessarily desperate to say, hey, we absolutely need you here. Like, we were a few years ago. We were pretty, you know, we're starting some pretty questionable dudes these past few years. But all of a sudden, that is starting to look a lot better. And especially a familiar face, the guy that's been around, went to Houston, came back, is Jalen Reeves-Maybin. That dude is looking like an absolute baller.
Yeah, Jalen Reeves-Maybin is another one. Like, I think I looked it up in his pass grade. It was really, really high in the Pro Football Focus. And the other thing about him is he's been really active around the ball. So I think things are changing on the defense. I literally do think the things are changing on the defense. I'm just hoping going through this next couple games where you play Dallas, I'm hoping we get some more reassurance that, like, okay, this defense is starting to turn the corner. Like, maybe this Vildor kid who just started playing, maybe Khalil Dorsey is that guy that they just found out of nowhere that's ready to ball, you know?
Yeah, and that's the good part about having a good general manager is typically every so often, you know, you just find some guys that are just they're just dudes, man. I mean, like, you know, like, there's teams that no matter what happens and they lose a guy, they just happen to, it's kind of next man up, and they've built a good culture and they've got a good coaching staff and they've just have an eye for talent, so that it ends up working out. I mean, you know, we get into a position where, you know, we lose a couple key guys because we can't afford them. Like, every year there's a draft. Every year there's new talent available. Every year there's an opportunity for Brad Holmes to find his guy in the first five, six rounds that are just, you know, unbelievable for their, you know, draft position. And you got those guys for 4 years, sometimes five, their first-round pick. So to be able to have an eye for talent and continually draft well, I mean, look, he's not going to get a hit on 100% of his picks, but if you can continually draft positions that are able to kind of, like, recycle themselves out, and you kind of have a method to that madness, I mean, you're set up to be a good team for a really long time. I mean, like I say in a million other podcasts, when the hell is the last time you remember the Ravens having a bad secondary or having a bad linebacker room or having, you know, a bad rushing attack? I mean, these guys have had a good defense for the past 30 seasons. I mean, and they just know how to draft defensive talent, and they got an eye for it. So I'm hoping that's the case here, and that we can just continually draft, you know, some guys every year that can help make an impact.
I think you're right. And there's one person that is people are talking about in the comment section. Let's get to it. We need a little bully mentality. Let everyone know that they're not walking on us. CJ hypes the crowd and team. He bracks up his mouth. We could use two of him. And then next, Michael, I'm going to totally butcher that name. I can't. Cola Tuglio. I dated an Italian. I can't even say it. It's insane. Anyways, is Gardner Johnson a little too loud, arrogant, or do you think it's good for the team culture? I think it's good for the team culture. And I think that, like Eric said, you know, you need someone on your team that's going to hype you up. I think you need someone that's going to go talk some crap. I did nail his name. Anyways, I think you need someone like that. I think every team needs a player that's going to go out there and make a difference. And not only make a difference on the football field, but kind of get in people's heads. I think the one person that you can get into their head really quickly is DK Metcalf with Seattle. Like,
right.
They literally, like, if you're going against a guy like DK Metcalf, who is known to, like, lose his shit sometimes, it's good to have a CJ Gardner-Johnson, because he's gonna take DK Metcalf and, like, throw him off the handle. We've seen CJ Gardner-Johnson do it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Oh, I'm having a little issues with my video there.
There we go. Now Tyler's gone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. I basically was saying, the whole CJ situation, right? Like, you can kind of, like, there's a fine line between being like, hey, I'm going to rock with you, I'm going to talk my shit, and being like somebody that's a distraction and a problem, and like someone that like brings bad culture to your squad. It's a fine line, but I think he rides that line perfectly, and I actually really like it for the team, because he kind of like, he's kind of like the dude, like, look, I'm going to have an attitude and this aura about me, but it's for my team. It's for my dogs. It's for my boys. It's for the city. It's for my people. Like, it's the kind of guy that, like, it's kind of like if any of you guys watch basketball, it's kind of like the Pat Beverly, the Marcus Smart, the Draymond Green. You hate playing against those guys because they get under your skin and they're so damn annoying, and you just seriously want to uppercut the shit out of them. But then when they're on your team, you're like, man, good. We're getting under everybody's skin. We're pissing them right off. Like, you know, up yours, you know, it's like so it's good to have that guy on your team. I like it. I think every team needs that kind of that shitster, that goon. And he's a great player. I mean, he's young. He's like, what, 26, 25, 26. Yeah. And, you know, this dude is a proven safety. And he's tough, man. And it just seems like he really embodies the city of Detroit. Seems like he really wants to be here. I mean, he's talking about doing podcasts and doing work for the community and just really loving the city and loving his fans. And he's here on a one-year prove-it deal. Like, that speaks volumes to me, because usually somebody that's just here in passing doesn't try to get so involved with the team and the city and its fans. Like, I'd love a CJ extension. I would. I think him healthy could mean a lot to this defense. He's a guy.
I think the one thing you could say about CJ Gardner-Johnson, and, you know, you just brought up Patrick Beverly, you brought up Draymond Green, you brought up Marcus Smart. You know, those guys, they're invaluable. And I can go to the hockey angle more so. There are guys like Darren McCarty and Bob Probert. Those guys, like, yeah, he's not going to go out there and fight someone, but he's gonna get in people's heads. Like, the element of the mental game, you know, Cindy talks about it all the time. About when we're talking about the Red Wings, she's talking about the mental game all the time, because it's every sport you play, it's mental. Like, there's a mental aspect of the game. So if you have a guy getting someone off their game, more power to you, because more happen than not, you know, you're gonna have a guy, he's gonna get off his game, he's gonna run the wrong route, and that could be an interception pick six.
Right.
So that's what you got to look at. Now, we have the one of the admins in the comment section, and it's Worrywart Mayank. And Mayank says, I'm kind of worried for Goff in this game. Goff hasn't played well against Florida's defense. And this is where I would say, look, Flores is a tough-ass defensive coordinator.
Dude, we're going against the Minnesota retirement home.
Well, the Vikings defense has played pretty damn good.
They have, but they're old as hell, man.
Look, they got some good players on that team. They got Danielle Hunter is playing out of his mind. That linebacker they have, Ivan Pace, he's pretty damn good. They've had some.
I wanted him out of Cincinnati. He was a good prospect.
He was an undrafted free agent. So, but I just look at this game and I go, well, I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag it out type of game. I don't think it's going to be like where we blow them out. There's too much riding on this game. The Vikings are going to have their backs against the wall. You know, Flores, he's been a great defensive coordinator wherever he's gone.
I could easily see this being like a 21-10 game, a 17-10, a 24-17. Like, I could see this being relatively low scoring and close. I don't think they're just watching them play against like the Raiders and watching this team go at it. I'm not worried about losing, but I definitely think it'll be a closer game. Like I said, I could see like a 21-10, 21-14. 21-17, but I still think I'm pretty confident with these next three matchups here. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, I think the Dallas one, I became more confident after last week watching Buffalo just run down their throats. I thought that was really intriguing to me because if there's one team that can really run down people's throats, that's the Lions. I mean, they have two, where did I put it? Oh, it's over there. They have two guys that are in the top 10 of the league. They're the only two players. Detroit's the only team that has two running backs in the top 10 of yards after contact. So if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you can run the ball with anybody. You can run the ball against anybody because which your offensive lineman does, the offensive line, they bully people. And then when these running backs do get contact, they still avoid it. It's like, come on, man. This is for all the people that were out there last week, they were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, right? We had a lot of people that were talking about, why'd they draft Jahmyr Gibbs? Why'd they draft Jahmyr Gibbs? Well, guys, if they didn't draft Jahmyr Gibbs, they didn't get Sam Laporta. So this is, I would take Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs any day over Jalen Carter. That's my whole thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, Gibbs is, been fantastic. He's been a very, solid running back. He's been a very solid player. He's lightning in a bottle, dude, from the running back position. I mean, he's, you just hope that, he's able to have a, healthy career. We've had a couple guys that come in and, like Kevin Smith and Javid Best, that have come in and been lightning in a bottle. So if he can stay healthy, man, the ceiling is, the ceiling is unlimited. So, and it's a great complement combination with Dave Montgomery. I mean, I really like that they're using them a little bit more equally now in different situational. I'm happy we're past the let's jam Monty up the gut 40 times a game. I'm happy that we're past that. but it is important to have a guy that you can shove between the tackles, here and there when you need it, and somebody to kind of bully the defense there. So. But Jahmyr has been tearing it up, man. And when our offense is clicking, it's hard to stop. I mean,
here's the stats: yards after contact. This is Dave Montgomery. He's 3.10. Jahmyr Gibbs 3.22. He's fifth in the league. Dave Montgomery sixth in the league. If you want to take it a step further, Jahmyr Gibbs 10 plus yard rushes. That's fifth in the league. And yards per run, Jahmyr Gibbs is first in the league with 5.7. So there you go. But there was also an ESPN article that came out just recently. This came out today. It ranked every player by positional category, by what they're good at. Like, for instance, Micah Parsons had the best pass rush moves, right? So for Detroit, they had three players on the list. And I want you to guess these three players, Tyler, because at number one, the first person we're going to guess, what do you think Dave Montgomery's best attribute is, and where do you think he plays? Now, you just have to guess. Just guess. We don't need all day.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would, I don't know, runs up the, or average yards between the tackles.
It's best contact balance. So he gets contacted, his balance after the contact. Okay. Dave Montgomery was ranked number one. Where do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown would rank? I mean, what thing does he have in his arsenal that you would say he's elite at?
Yeah, separation, yards per contact or after contact, yak.
It's best hands. Amon-Ra St. Brown was named with the best hands. Now, Penei Sewell, this is an interesting one. I'm going to let you guess, and then you can guess, and then we'll see where you go with this one.
We'll say, dude, just run blocking or pancakes, man, mauling dudes.
He is his best at opening running lanes. So that's what Penei Sewell was, and it was interesting because I was like, man, when I was reading that, I was like, okay, you know what, guess what? Like, the fact of the matter is this. Like, Penei Sewell is just – he's your – franchise right. He's going to be your franchise left tackle eventually with Taylor.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, you got Jahmyr Gibbs and you got Dave Montgomery's having a great year. Best contact balance. I agree with that. I'd say St. Brown is better at route running than best hands, but we'll take it. So anyways, we were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, and this is interesting. This is from the Lions PR. It says, Jahmyr, among all NFL running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs ranks first in 20-plus yard rushes, 10. First in rushing yard average, I told you that. Tied first in rush TDs among rookies. Where is that Bijan Robinson guy? And then fourth in rushing yards before contact. Fifth in lowest run stuff, 6.5. Sixth in scrimmage yards per game, 90.7. So you're looking at that and you're going, man, this guy is freaking phenomenal as a rookie. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, especially on this one. We talked about it when the Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. I think there was a lot of upset people about Jahmyr Gibbs, and you're like, okay, man, like, would you rather have Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs? And I think that I gravitated towards having Jahmyr Gibbs because I seen what he did at Alabama, and I remember reading some of the comments from the people on draft night, and they were talking about how like, no, I'd rather have Bijan because he's the more complete runner. And I think one of the things that I think a lot of people misunderstood about Jahmyr Gibbs is, he's pretty good, well, between the tackles. Like, he isn't like your Javon Best or DeAndre Swift. You know, I think last year we were talking about how DeAndre Swift doesn't hit the hole hard enough. Yeah. That's not the case with Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, he loves to make people look like idiots, number one. And number two,
it's tough because, like, I still can see the point of view with Bijan Robinson. I mean, he's built a little bit more to be, like, more of your three-down back. The Atlanta Falcons offensive line is atrocious. So the fact that he has as many yards and as touchdowns as he does is pretty impressive. But I think what I really like about Jahmyr is that, like, and then I'm not saying Bijan can't be lightning in a bottle and have that big play ability, right. But every time Jahmyr Gibbs touches the ball,
there's a shot.
There's a chance that this dude is taking it 80 yards. Right. Like, and that's what I love. Like, he's very fast. He's very quick. He's very explosive. And so, yeah, I can see the arguments between Bijan, and I think they're both going to be really good running backs in this league. I mean, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be your Saquon and CMC, you know, for, you know, the next decade. You know, running backs don't usually last that long, but you know what I mean? You know, the next 7-8 years, they have the chance to be, you know, your top guys, you know, going forward. Just the way I see it is just I love that big playability, and I think it's something our offense really needed is, like, you know, whenever he has the ball in his hands, kind of like with J-Mo, dude, you have a 50-50 chance of this dude, like, taking it to the house, man. Obviously not 50-50, I'm exaggerating, but you got a chance that this dude is going to freaking hit a home run, man. Like, you know, you guy might, you know, never be, you know, hey, consistently hitting, you know, some of the in between tackles numbers or touchdown numbers that Bijan has may in the future. I don't know that, but I do know that every time this guy touches the ball in his hands, there is a good chance this dude's gonna have be on SportsCenter top 10 the next day. Like, this dude has just got it. He's got that juice.
Yeah, I think when you watch Jahmyr Gibbs, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like every time he touches the ball, you're like, whoa, like, what's gonna happen? You know, and I think a lot of older people, you know, a lot of older people have seen Barry Sanders and Billy Sims or whatever, they kind of get flashbacks. Not saying that Jahmyr Gibbs is Barry Sanders, but that it's like when Calvin caught the ball. Like, when Calvin caught the ball, there was a point at that when he caught it that you go, is this going to be a great play that happens? You know, right. When Patrick Mahomes gets a snap, you think, is this going to be the freaking play that he makes that you're going to be like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, when
there are game changers, man.
It's hard to find game changers. Like, it really is hard to find game changers. For Brad Holmes to find two of them on offense and Sam LaPorta and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, I mean, think about when you hear on the announcement on the TV, and Goff throws it to Amon-Ra, and you're like, catch,
right? Like, you assume when he drops it, you're like, damn, this might really be
this guy's human. No way, you know? Like, yeah. You just like, there's just certain guys that, like, when the ball comes their way, like, you just get excited, and you know, and speaking of that, man, like, I know we want to talk about it a little bit, but you know. We finally got J-Mo more than two targets this game, and that dude came down with a really tough catch. That's another guy that could be, like, playmaker, home run hitter, lightning in a bottle, and I think we all know that deep down. But I really like what I'm starting to see from him, and I just, you know, like I said, I would love to get some schemes going where we can take some shots with this dude, or we can at least get him a little bit more involved in the game plan. I would love to see what J-Mo does with, you know, getting the ball in his hand 7-8 times, 9-10 times in the game. Like, it would be – I'd be really curious to see what that looks like, because I think this dude's still watching the games. He does a lot with a little. And, I mean, it's only a matter of time before he starts to get frustrated. I mean, he is a very, 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 very big team guy. And he – I think a lot of people assumed he was selfish and diva because, right. Like, you know, he's got a swag to him. And, you know, he's not necessarily – you know, super quiet and like the humble type. He is, but he isn't. I think a lot of people assumed a different personality type coming from him, you know, star receiver from Alabama, top 10 pick, or, you know, top 12 pick. And, but you know, this dude is like all about the team and all about Detroit and all about the culture and the fans. And like, I love J-Mo, man. And I think that, you know, we get the ball in his hands more. We're going to see some good things. And that dude had an absolute ridiculous catch on Sunday.
So here's the thing about J-Mo. So I was watching the Pittsburgh Steelers a game before the Detroit Lions, and I seen George Pickens, who, remember a year ago, people were saying the Lions should have drafted George Pickens, right? I seen George Pickens give up on a block. And the one thing I could say about for certain about J-Mo, and this has gone back to when he wasn't even getting the ball. The one thing I could say about J-Mo is he does try to block people.
Oh, yeah.
He does try to make an impact in the run game. You know, there's very little wide receivers in the NFL that are willing to block. They're some of them are like just they look like idiots blocking.
If I'm not getting the ball, I don't really give a shit. J-Mo's like, I'm just happy to be on the damn field, dude.
No, J-Mo, at least he shows an effort to block. You know, but that's the thing in that wide receiver room. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown blocks, Josh Reynolds blocks, Raymond blocks. DPJ blocks. Like, that's what you have to do in that wide receiver room. But when I watch J-Mo block, that makes me think of him as like, okay, he's a team first guy. And now that he's getting the ball, I mean, last game he had 7 targets, 4 receptions, 47 yards. Practically 10 yards a reception, okay? So they're getting him the ball. They're getting him, giving him chances now. Goff said on 97 on the ticket, Tuesday, that he trusts Jameson Williams now more than he has, you know, because they had to develop a relationship. Me and you both said that.
Yeah.
So J-Mo is starting to come around, and this is the perfect time for him to come around. Absolutely. What better time? Now, I know they're going to play the Dallas Cowboys, okay? I know they're going to play the Minnesota Vikings, but having a guy like Jameson Williams, having a guy like Sam LaPorta, those are huge.
Absolutely.
And then it says, Todd Caswell says, with J-Mo, other teams have no tape on him. He is a key, not watch. You know, I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. You know, these teams don't have tape on Jamo. So I think he's going to be the emphasis of offense. And when he does, when teams finally start to say, oh, we got to look at this kid Jamison, guess what it's going to open up? It's going to open up Sam Laporta on the tight end. It's going to open up Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's going to open up Jahmyr Gibbs coming out of the backfield. We're talking about a total great thing happening. Now, we talked about it. This is one of the things that me and Tyler were talking about before the show. This is Jared Goff ranks among Lions quarterbacks. We're going to talk about this in a minute. But he's second in passing first downs, 185. Third in passing yards, 3,727. Third in 20-plus yard passes. Third in completions, tied third in passing TDs. Tied third in 20-plus yard passing TDs. And he's sixth in QB rating with 98.2. Tyler, me and you were talking about this. I think it was Saturday. We were talking about this Saturday, how Goff has validated himself. Now, I think that, you know, every player you have along the lines, they're going to have a time in their season where they're not a good player. Like, they're just not. They're playing ass. And the one player that's going through it right now is Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts is playing like ass right now. So when you think about it from a realistic standpoint, like, these guys are human. They're not robots. I mean, I think the only robot guy that I could – there's two of them, actually, is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. That's the only two that I could personally –
I mean, even Patrick Mahomes has weeks where he looks kind of like shit, you know? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, it's with him, it's like he gets the ball to his wide receivers, and, I mean, sometimes he does look like shit. But...
I want to put this on record, and I want everyone to hear it. Kadarius Toney is the worst football player I've ever seen in my entire life. Ever. That dude is ass, bro. I'm dead serious. That might be, hands down, the worst wide receiver, maybe the worst football player I've ever seen on a professional team. I mean, this dude would, like, absolutely kill me out on the, like, on the backyard, right? Or, like, I'm not, like, sitting here trying to gloat. This dude would, like, toast me for 500 yards,
right?
Even if I'm sagging back 40 yards. I know these are professional athletes, but for dudes in the league, that dude is buns, bro. I saw this man tip a ball to himself three times, and then it got picked off by the Pats because he just couldn't hang on to it. I'm like,
I secretly feel bad for Patrick Mahomes because, like, he's throwing to an idiot.
But, like, you know what? This dude does keep accepting the most money by any quarterback in the league. So, I mean, if you want talent, you got to be able to have money for talent.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of quarterbacks, I think there's more quarterbacks in the league that are just, let me get the most money. And then when things go wrong, they say it's like, oh, it's not my fault. Well, it's kind of your fault.
We ain't never going to see a Tom Brady type again, dude. A guy that's willing to take a little less money and take pay cuts to, like, help keep a championship team. Tom Brady loved to win. It also helps when your wife is, like, the richest model in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I have heard from people in regards to Jared Goff that Goff would take a lesser extension to remain with the Lions. And I don't know if it's true. I can't pinpoint it. But what I can say is if he did that, that'd be freaking awesome, because then you could keep building the team around him and make it even better.
Yep.
Avery says, what a difference a week makes. Well, you know what? Whatever. Yeah. What a difference a week makes. Not a week, obviously. Like, they've been asked since week 7. So, I mean, it don't matter. So, this Facebook user, please write out your name so we know who you are. I'm calling for JMO to get 2 TDs and 150 yards this week. It's his time to shine. And prove he's ready for the show. That would be amazing. That means you're clinching the NFC North. But back to Avery's comments about what a difference a week makes. Yeah, you could say that, but you could also say this was probably their most complete team win against a team that was playing actually really good, the Denver Broncos. I mean, this is the most points the Denver Broncos has given up since, week 5, I believe it was. So this is a huge thing. And, oh, it's Detroit Don. Oh, my God.
Hey, brother.
He said, so Detroit Don says, I'm calling for JMO for 2 TDs and 150 yards this week. It's his time to shine and prove he's ready for the show. Now, if JMO does this, I don't want anybody coming to me and saying he's a bust anymore. Because even when I was saying, like, oh, J-Mo's having a good game today. J-Mo's having a good game today, right? I still have people saying, oh, he's a bust. Like, how the hell can you say that realistically?
No. And I don't know, because it's not up to him. I've seen this dude open a lot. I've seen him doing the right thing. It's hard to put a mark on, like, when he's going to have that, like, I'm here game.
If it was Minnesota or Dallas that he does that, I swear to God, that'll be the greatest moment of my life, because that means they're winning the football game.
I mean, he will have games where he's going to go absolutely berserk and he's going to go off. But it's just, it's tough because, like, you know, we've got guys like Laporta and Amon-Ra that just get such a huge chunk of target share. Yeah. It's going to be hard. But slowly but surely, you know, if we can get J-Mo a little bit of the targets that Josh Reynolds gets, a little bit of targets, you know, that, you know, a couple targets from Amon-Ra. You know, if J-Mo can get, you know, 8 to 10 targets a game, I mean, we'll be cooking, you know, on average, you know, and it's tough because, you know, realistically, you know, at most we're throwing 35 to 40 times, and you got plenty of guys that that want, you know, that we got to spread the love to, but it'll happen at some point, man. I'm just happy to see him out there. I'm happy to see him playing well. I'm happy to see him out on the field, and I'm happy to see him contributing. So we'll see him start to turn it up, man. I'm definitely sure in that.
Even I want to highlight this comment because even during the Lions' worst times, like, I mean, from Baltimore game to maybe, like, the Chicago game, they never lost two in a row. So they haven't lost two in a row all year. But Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas did. Last time the Lions lost two in a row, that's when they started 1-6, okay? So there's obviously something about this team bouncing back. And that's a critical thing that's to be known about this team, is that they bounce back really, really well. And Joe Austin from YouTube, he says, Lions are going to win out and roar into the playoffs. And you know what? I can't say anything. I think they can win out. I think that Dallas is beatable. All these people that fear Dallas, I don't fear Dallas at all. I really don't. I think Dallas is the ultimate paper tiger. I know they beat up on garbage teams. I know that they beat up on teams at home, but they haven't played the last, like, three teams that they played that were worth a damn. The Eagles, which they won and they lost one, so they won 1-1. They won the game at home. They lost against the Bills. They lost against the 49ers. They haven't had a team that's came into the AT&T Stadium and gave them what they actually, like, aren't good at doing and stopping the run. So when Detroit goes to Dallas, they're going to be able to run the ball at Dallas, and let's see if they can stop it. And if they can stop it, kudos to them. But if they can't, it's going to be a long day for them. I think that's what's going to happen. So,
I mean, as long as not even trying to sound pessimistic in this, but we've got, what, 3 games left?
Yeah.
If we can just win one more, we're good. The division's locked.
Yeah, you just got – the first thing you want to get involved is division. You want to win the division, number one. Number two is if you can get that 2 seed or that 1 seed, maybe you give yourself a shot. And if you're going to
– crazy. The NFL season is already, like, almost over. Like, what the hell?
It's pretty nuts. But here's another thing I want to hit on. This is from Lions PR. The Lions are the only team in the NFL that have 4 players with 7-plus TDs this year. That's David Montgomery, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. If there's anything to be known about these 4 guys that have absolutely balled out, I mean, they still have a chance to add to it too. So out of those 4, Tyler, which one is the least surprising and which one is the most surprising?
Least surprising is David Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, just because I watched Jamal walk in almost 20 touchdowns last year. And the most surprising, I would say, is Sam Laporta, just because it's really tough at the tight end position as a rookie to put up that kind of production. So that would probably be my most surprising.
You're hitting on our next topic, our next slide. But before you go to that, my most surprising is Sam Laporta, because for the reasons that you gave. And then my least surprising is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, that's a clear cut. But Sam, like you said, I've it's funny because Michigan State, which you're wearing a sweatshirt right now. Michigan State got that kid, Jake Vealing, from Oregon State. And one of the comps that he has is Luke Musgrove, the guy who went to Green Bay. And everyone's like, oh, that guy sucks. Yeah, I'm like, guys, I hope you understand. You got an ultimate unicorn in Sam Laporta. Like, tight ends are not supposed to be this good, guys. They're not supposed to be this good. Like, you look at this. Sam Laporta is the first player in NFL history to produce at least 70 receptions, 700 receiving yards, and 8 TDs in a season. That's Sam Laporta.
As a rookie.
Sam Laporta has produced 9 receiving TDs. That sets a new single-season franchise record among all tight ends and all rookies. Like, this guy is unbelievable. And then he has a shot to break Rob Gronkowski next week with 10 touchdowns in a year. And he has a chance to pass Mike Ditka. And that'd be great if we could just rub that embarrassed fan's face. Like, Ditka, what's Ditka doing?
The crazy thing about it, I mean, I knew Mike Ditka was good, but I had no idea this dude's rookie season, he was like that, bro. Like, Ditka had, like 1,200 yards, like 12 touchdowns, and like 90 catches his rookie year. I'm like,
Ditka was amazing as a tight end.
I knew he was great, but I didn't know as a rookie that dude was like that, bro.
And then if you're on the Facebook, if you're on the YouTube, here's another stat for you. The only players in NFL history to log at least 70 receptions, 750 receiving yards, and 9 receiving TDs through 14 games. This is the list. Lions tight end Sam Laporta and Odell Beckham. Okay? So they're... This guy's a unicorn. Like, he literally is a unicorn. Yeah. You don't get guys like this much. And, I mean, you could realistically say he's probably one of the top tight ends in the game right now. Like, if we're being honest with ourselves, like, he might be a top 10 tight end in this league. Because
and I've argued with people that he's already a top 5. And some of my friends, they give me shit. And they're like, no.
I'm then
like,
who's top 5? Who's
I was top like, five? Listen, man. Like, for me, I got, like, you know, I put Hawk in there just because he has been having good production. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got, like, right now my top 5 would be, like, Travis Kelce, right. George Kittle, Hawk, and then, like, that in between you got, like, Mark Andrews, Dallas Goedert, and Sam Laporta. I mean, that's, like, the 6. Like, that's, like, your
– All right, let me put this –
Those are your guys, man.
I would take Laporta and Kelce over anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle has a really nice aspect because he is a mean, nasty blocker.
But I think the big playability of your tight end, if they can be a game changer like Sam Laporta has been, like Travis Kelce has been, I mean, from that position, you're usually expecting a guy that's going to block well, maybe catch a few touchdowns, maybe get some yak yardage, but you don't expect them to be game changers. Right. And the fact of the matter is this. Travis Kelce is a game changer. Sam Laporta is a game changer. And when teams have to, like, when they have to, like, look at the offense as a whole and they have to look at one player that could change the game, on this Lions team, they have to look at, like, 3 players. They have to look at St. Brown. They have to look at Gibbs. They have to look at Laporta. And for Laporta to be a rookie, and especially a rookie tight end, because rookie tight ends don't do good in their first year. So to see him do this well, it's very, very surprising to me. And it's very, very good for us because – I mean, Sam Laporta is everything that you thought Hockenson was going to be, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
If you thought, you know, we wanted Hockenson to be this type of guy, and he just wasn't. And I think that if you look at it.
And Hockenson is still a great tight end. I mean, he's a great tight end. He produces good numbers. But, like, dude, if I can have Sam Laporta at, you know, $1 million a year, or I got to pay Hockenson 18, like. Dude, I'm more than happy with Sam Laporta. And I think Sam Laporta, his ceiling is higher than Hockenson's could ever be. You know, I'm trying to, you know, be realistic a little bit to say, you know, like, Hockenson's still a great tight end. But he's poor with yards after the catch. He doesn't have that big splash play ability of, like, oh, I have to, like, oh, we have to literally game plan against him. Like, right. He's reliable. Like I said, I mean, I certainly feel like he's definitely fringe top 5, at least top 10 in the league. But the tight end position is pretty watered down in today's NFL. But Sam Laporta, man, he does just have a chance to be a very, very, very special kind of guy. I mean, he's got the potential to be your Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski type of guy. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, those are really lofty. Those are two of the top.
But he's hitting all the 5 marks.
Tight
he's
ends hitting, of all hitting, time, man. I mean, those are lofty comparisons. But
he's hitting all the marks, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, but the talent's there, and so it'll be interesting to see how his career folds out. Because look, dude, these guys are rookies, man. Like, these guys are going to get better. That's the scary part. Like, Laporte is going to get better. Gibbs is going to get better. Penei Sewell, as impossible as it may seem, will get better and stronger. Like, these guys will get better. Like, you know, typically in the league, like, you start to kind of peak for, I mean, different positions are, like, your ages with positions are different, but typically you start to peak around 25.
Yeah.
And that usually, you know, usually for most positions, your prime is a good 5-6 years. You know, linemen, you sometimes can, you know, you can get a little bit longer, you know, longer of a prime. And, you know, receivers, some of those guys can play later in their careers. But generally, you know, you start getting your best at 24, 25. And so, like, the best is yet to come for these guys. You know, they're going to get stronger. They're going to get faster. They're going to be – they're going to – and there's things that we don't see. Like, yeah, they're great. But, like, when they start to learn about, like, certain nuances of the league, they start to learn certain things about routes, and they start to be – they're around pros more. Like, you know, they'll pick it up, man, and they'll get to – you know, they'll get an opportunity to really show how special they can be. And just more time with Goff too, and, like, more time with around the team, more time around the coaching staff, more time around the offensive line. Like, bro – This team's scary now, but these guys could be set up to be, like, real scary. I mean, hopefully for a real long time, but you're talking about, you know, if you look at the short term in the next 5 years, you got a chance to see probably the best stretch of Lions football in the franchise history.
I mean, yeah, I just look back to, like, last year when we were doing the podcast. I remember it was 1-6 and we were, like, having, like, a moratorium kind of thing, where you're like, oh my God, like, is it going to get better? And then you fast forward to right where we are now, like, about to clinch the division. You think about, like, you've lost back-to-back games since that 1-6 start. I mean, it's been great for this franchise, and it's been great because Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have done a hell of a job in year three to be this good. And that's what I take away from it. Like, they shouldn't be this good in year three. That's my opinion.
But yeah, and look what happens. I mean, like, you're still got guys that you can get rid of. Like, you know, imagine what happens when we're going to be able to replace, like, Will Harris and Jerry Jacobs and Charles Harris and the Aquara brothers and, you know, Anzuwerke and all these dudes that just, like, aren't putting anything out on the field.
Right.
Like, when you start to get to replace some of those guys, like, dude, we could be real nasty. Like, and hey, man, we were talking a little shit about the homie Josh Pascal, man, but, you know, he actually showed up pretty nicely this last game, so I'll give him his props, man. He looked good.
Yeah, Josh Pascal looked good, and I was surprised because, you know, if that's the Josh Pascal we get for the rest of the year, that you add in a James Houston, like, that'll be great. And then we're gonna get a Lee McNeil back. We know that for sure. So it's gonna get better. The fact that they had such a great game against the run against Javonte Williams, who I figured would have a great game against them because there was no Lee McNeil, gives me a little bit of hope that this defense does have some guys that could step in and make plays. And Isaiah Bugs, that's a guy that was on, like, the precipice of probably being cut this offseason. And he had a great game. And that's pretty much what we needed. And, you know, I know he's fallen out of favor with the coaches twice in this year. But if he can stay on task and be good for the rest of the year, I think that's a huge bonus for his team.
No, absolutely. And just, you know, whether I agree with some of the things he said or how he's acted or how he's kind of composed himself during that, you know, he could have probably been a little bit more tactful with it. But you know what? You love football and you have a passion and you're not playing and you're getting pissed off. And instead of coming down here and just being like, eh, this dude came out and was like, hey, I'm going to show you why I deserve to be here, bitch. Like, I'm going to be here. You know what I'm saying? And you like to see that from players. Like, you'd rather – I mean, that, you know, that's – you know, you've played sports, I've played sports. Like, you know that feeling of, like, I have to prove myself. I have pride in myself as a player. I have pride in myself as a person. Like, the fact that he came out there and, like, you know, has fallen out of favor with the coaching staff and just not – hasn't been a part of this year's plans. But he comes out there and he stays prepared and he has a monster game. Like, you love to see that stuff, man, because, you know, if we can have this guy come out in the playoffs – and play like he did last Saturday. I mean, we need that kind of defensive line depth, especially, you know, teams are getting hurt. You know, guys need to step up. But, you know, Ali McNeil was a big hit to our D-line. But with Bugs coming pretty much off his couch, off the freaking you know, a healthy scratch list and coming in and able to like make some noise is pretty impressive. And I like to see that, man. So I'm hoping that he continues it out. And I'm just trying to see some momentum right in towards the playoffs. You know, if we can finish these last 3 weeks out strong and have carry some momentum and, you know, lock in that two seed. I remember you made a post about that the other day. Like, we need to hit this two seed, man. Like, let's. I don't think we're going to get the one seed for all those people that are excited about that because the Niners have to drop two or three, and I just don't see that happening. But
let's be happy
for that two seed, bro. Let's be honest
with San Francisco. They got a tough game this week. So if you are and if you still think someone is available, like someone says, if our defense, I think this is Detroit Don. If our defense plays like they did against Denver, it's going to be a long day for Dak. And then Detroit Don says this. Detroit Lions will finish at 14-4. Dallas and San Francisco will slip up, and Detroit with the number one seed. Can you imagine? Now, if that happens, I swear to God, people are not going to want to come to Detroit. I know people nationally that don't think that Detroit has like this great home field advantage, but I think the first playoff game the Lions have at home at Ford Field, like whoever plays there is going to have a hell of a time. Like it's going to be the roughest. People are going to look at it like Seattle. They're going to be looking at it like Kansas City, where you're going to go into a hornet's nest, and you better bring your game, or else you're going to get blown out of that joint. That's what I see with this team, because if you look at this is another thing where I was going to get to the offense, the Lions offense. The Lions offense ranks second in rushing yards, second in 20 plus yard plays, tied second in 20 plus yard TDs. Third in total net yards, third in yards per play, third in touchdowns, third in tied for third in passing touchdowns, fourth in net passing yards, fourth in pass in points, fourth in first downs, fourth in rushing TDs. And then you look at that and you go, a team that's going to come to Ford Field.
Bro, if, being top three in pass yards and rush yards is crazy.
Right. You pick your poison. Like, okay, is the team going to sell out to stop the run? Or are they going to sell it to stop the Pats? That's going to be the thing that I would kind of look at, because I think over the last like couple, you know, like the last four games or whatever, I think the Lions didn't play their best football. So I think people are a little bit accustomed to thinking like, okay, they're not playing their best football. So that's what they are, but they're way better than that.
Right.
And they showed that against Denver. And that, when they played Denver, that was probably their most complete victory. That was the most points the Denver Broncos have given up all season, besides that 70-point loss to the Miami Dolphins. So, I mean, you played your ass off. You beat a good team, and Denver had everything to play for, too. Let's not get it twisted. Like, Denver had a playoff position to play for. They had a shot to go to the playoffs, and that's what they did. So, I mean, the Lions went in there, and they did what they had to do. And if we're going to look at it realistically and talk about it, how well-mannered that game was, I think that was kind of like the Lions kind of breaking out of their slumber, because we've seen it before. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers lost three straight, right? Dallas lost back-to-back games at one point. And the Lions, I mean, let's be honest, they haven't lost back-to-back games. They just look like shit in a couple games. And people are like, oh, my God, the sky is falling. Here's the thing about Detroit fans. There's a lot of people in Lions, this Lions YouTube podcasts, all the media and everything. When they talk about the Detroit Lions, I think that they get sunk in that they are the Detroit Lions. So they think that everything is bad is going to happen to them. But if you're an NFL fan and you've watched NFL football for a long time, this is just par for the course. Like, you're never going to have like this season where it's going to be perfect all the way through. Right. It just doesn't happen. So I think a lot of fans are like, oh, man. Here we go again. It's like, no, it's not that bad.
Well, we are tied for second with the least amount of losses in the entire league.
Yeah.
You know, but it is easy to get wrapped up in it. I mean, dude, I mean, I've felt that. I mean, I've been like, God, dude, are you shitting me? Here we go again with this. Like, you know, it's normal as a fan, but like when you sit back and look and like, okay, dude, we're 10-4. We have a chance to like not only win the division, but win it in like astounding fashion. And we have an opportunity to be the second or third seed in the NFC, man. Like, that's huge, dude. And like, we haven't made – excuse me. We haven't made the playoffs in seven seasons?
Yeah.
you know, so it's been a long time since we've even sniffed the playoffs. And so I think what 2016 maybe was the last time.
Yeah.
2015. But you know, regardless, like, we're rolling, we're looking good, we are doing what we need to do. And you know, if you can consistently, you know, get anywhere from 10 to 13 wins and this becomes a standard, like, every team loses games, it's going to happen, but it's about who can stay the healthiest and who can catch fire at the right times. And this game against Denver, I think, is more important than people actually realize. Like, this was huge for us. Like, had we played another shit game or lost that game or just looked really bad and somehow squeezed out a win, I would be a lot worried. But we came out in dominating fashion, and that is exactly what we needed. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the – pretty sure that is the first two-score game that we've won all year, I think.
No, I think we had the Panthers – we had the Atlanta game,
but was it more than two touchdowns? Was it like three scores? I know, like,
I know think the Atlanta game was 20-6, so that's two scores.
I think this is the first three score game that we've had.
Well, no, Panthers definitely was.
Oh yeah, we beat the shit out of the Panthers, didn't we?
All right, and then before we leave, we're gonna give our final closing thoughts, and then that'll be quick, and then we'll give our. But this is what CJ Gardner-Johnson said. Because you know he was in the movement of the blue ski mask. We're gonna be stealing stuff. Well, he says, "Bro, I ain't even gonna cap. I think that shit is cursed." So we will not expect to see the blue mask anywhere in Ford Field or with CJ Gardner-Johnson because he thinks that shit's cursed. So it is what it is. Tyler, any closing thoughts?
Well, we did beat the Broncos by more than we did beat the Panthers. So that is at least our biggest margin of victory all year. So I'm happy.
That's impressive, too, because the Broncos are way better than Panthers. But
yeah. You know, as far as our closing thoughts, I mean, I'll keep it short and sweet, man. Let's sorry, I just had somebody shoot me a funny text. I'm ready to finish out the season strong. I'm ready to see what the playoffs look like. I'm ready to feel happy that I can root for my team in the postseason and just feel good and try to enjoy this shit, man. I'm going to try to enjoy these last few seasons. I want to see Sam LaPorta do something great. I want to see how Goff responds to his 5-touchdown game. We've seen how he's responded to a bad game. I want to see if he can follow this up and stay hot into the playoffs. In these last 3 weeks, they're going to be all momentum going towards the playoffs. And, you know, I'll be excited to see that last week. You know, if we clinch the division and we clinch the 2 seed, I think week 18, dude, we see guys like we might see Hendon Hooker. You know, mm-hmm. We might see a heavy dose of, you know, a heavy dose of DPJ or JMO.
I don't think you're going to see Hendon Hooker, but I do.
You never know. I'm excited to see how we approach these last couple weeks. And, you know, if we handle it like a mature team who's a playoff team, I'm excited to see what it looks like. You know, just the coaching decisions and some of the personnel decisions, you know, rolling into the offseason or rolling into the postseason. And I'm ready for some guys to get healthy, man. I'm ready to see Aleem and CJ Gardner-Johnson and James Houston. Like, I'm pumped, dude. So I'm going to try to enjoy the last few weeks of the football season. I don't expect us to go 3-0 the rest of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if we did, but I'm not expecting it. I just want one more win. I want to finish 11-6 at least. Get the division clinched up and really just try to soak this shit in. And hopefully, if we do lose, it's not the last game of the season because I really want to carry a strong momentum going into the playoffs.
So, I think that the Lions are going to win their next 3 games.
I'd love that. Yeah, I mean,
I think the Lions are winning their next 3 games. I'll tell you the person that's going to be the major key in it, and it's going to be Jameson Williams. I think JMO is going to be a critical piece going down the stretch. I think last week's game really kind of put him in a perspective of how good he can be. I think the Jared Goff saying that he could trust Jameson Williams right now is something that, you know, when Jared Goff trusts you, that means you're going to get the ball. And I think that if Jared Goff gets JMO the ball 7-8 times, I think one of these times it's going to take the house. And I think that's the key. I think JMO would really unlock this offense if we're talking about it from a realistic standpoint. He's the guy that can unlock this offense. You know, we have Sam LaPorta, we have Jahmyr Gibbs, but a guy that can stretch the field, that's a guy that I think a lot of people, you know, that are Lions fans want. Because if you can stretch the field with Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam LaPorta, I'm not saying Brown, and all the receivers that they got, you now open up the offense to everything. And I love that Ben Johnson had a great game plan last week of being aggressive. And even Jared Goff said it in the interview with the Ticket. He said, you know, the Ben Johnson was aggressive, and that was the reason that they had all these new things that they wrinkled in. And if they continue to do that throughout the rest of the season, they're going to win all these games. Like, I just feel like this Detroit Lions team is on the precipice of actually going into the playoffs with the momentum. I don't think that Nick Mullins, the Vikings quarterback, is going to be able to slice and dice this defense, okay? I just don't. I think the only team that you're really going to have to really respect is Dallas. And that's a team that you could really run on because they have shown an ability not to like to stop the run. So if I'm this Lions team, if you win out, you give yourself the best chance to make to go into the postseason with momentum, right? Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but you give yourself a chance to get the number one seed, the number two seed. And if you get the number two seed, that's even better because you're going to be hosting two playoff games and you might host a third playoff game. So if you're a Lions fan, and it obviously you want the NFC North, and that has to happen first. But you also want seeding, because if you can have two games at Ford Field in the playoffs, no team is going to want to come here and play here. Like, they're just not. This is already a hornet's nest as it is. And the fact of the matter is this. The Lions are on the precipice of having one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. And I know they ticked off their fans with the season ticket bullshit, but I have a post coming out tomorrow. I talked to someone from the NFL that NFL made them up the prices. But we'll get to that in a post on there. But that's just this Lions fan base has waited ever since Ford Field opened to have a playoff game. Yeah. The fact that they have a playoff game coming, potentially, is huge, and I don't think this Lions team is going to let it go away.
Yeah, I don't even know when our last home playoff game was in the 90s. You know, so it's been a long time, and 93. So that's crazy. And the fact that what's going to be interesting, bro, and you're going to see, man, if I agree with you, Joe, momentum is the most important going to the playoffs. Absolutely.
Yep. If you get momentum, I mean. There's only been one team in my life that didn't go into the playoffs with momentum. Oh, Detroit Giants, that was 1997. Okay. So 1997 was last time. So I was three. Anyways, I just made a bunch of people feel old. Now, here's the thing. I remember there was one team, when the Lions were having their issues, I went back and I looked at some of the teams in Detroit sports history that they had like these bad streaks or whatever. The 04 Pistons, I think in January and February, they won like three games total. The 2002 Red Wings, which was the best Red Wings team ever, they didn't win a game in April. They lost nine straight going into the playoffs. And then they lost 11 straight. They lost two first games in the playoffs. And then the 08 Red Wings, they lost like, I think they only won like two games in February and January. So these types of streaks happen and you just got to roll with it. But if you can get some momentum going,
dude, I mean,
it's you can get beat.
As of right now, how it stands, it would be the Detroit Lions hosting Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs. How crazy. The script writers are going crazy right now.
Yeah, you've seen that screen grab that had the Lions and Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well if that happens, I'll be happy about it. I'll be happy about it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If we hosted Matthew Stafford, it's one of two things are going to happen. We're going to be absolutely demoralized if Matthew Stafford comes to Detroit and beats us.
I really don't want to happen. So.
Or two, it is going to be so damn cool and bittersweet to watch Jared Goff kick Sean McVay's ass. And, you know, and we can say hi to our buddy Stafford. But sending him home with a loss and saying, hey, this is Jared Goff basically saying, this is my team now. You know, thanks for stopping by. We're going to the freaking next round, man. Like, that's going to be so fucking cool, man.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And if we could, we'll have a podcast about it anyway. So it don't matter.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about it then. But thanks for everybody who watched today. This has been a great podcast. Thank you for interacting with us. Tyler, it's been a great podcast today. We'll see you in the next podcast. We might do one Sunday. We might do whatever. We might do one Christmas. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll definitely do a YouTube video. So that's all we know. Maybe I'll get Tyler to join me too. Anyways, thanks for watching. And if you're watching this on Twitter, which I know, well, it's X on some platforms, but if you're watching on X or YouTube or Twitter, go to our Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcast, Detroit Lions News Podcast, download it there. I appreciate it. Give us good reviews. Thank you very much for just watching. And then thank you guys. We'll see you guys in the next Detroit Lions News Podcast as we talk more Detroit Lions football. And thank you guys for watching. And me and Tyler appreciate you. There's more great stuff to come with this podcast, so stay tuned to that. And we'll see you in the next podcast.